expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
I find this scientifically fascinating.
You're listening to KUCI Irvine.
Disengage this computer now.
Broadcasting at 88.9 FM.
Hello, computer.
And on the web at KUCI.org.
The most reliable computer ever made.
And streaming through iTunes.
Don't expect any mercy during the Great Robot Wars.
Anteater Radio brought to you by machines. Returning to normal broadcast in 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Irvine. It is your guide, Ryan Foland, here on Get Notified, the radio show that helps you learn more about what you don't know when it comes to social media and the world of the internet. But we have fun here. We bring on influencers. We talk about talking. We talk about talking online. We talk about talking offline. And today we are talking about one of my favorite topics, content creation. I've got some nice music in the background to set the tone. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, social media influencer, author who writes for Huffington Post, Entrepreneur, Inc. magazine, has over 10 million reads on his content, and is known for personal branding, social media strategy, and working through failure. Ladies and gentlemen, Leonard Kim. Leonard, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. We're going to turn down that awesome music. Everybody, I think, was nice and pumped up. It is early in the morning here, but it is never too early to talk with you, my friend. How are you today, Leonard?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I had my Java Zen this morning. It's a mix of coffee and tea, so I hopefully won't crash, but I feel the groove of the tea. And I am in a better position than all of the people who are on the 405 traffic right now, trying to get to UCI or somewhere in Orange County. I feel for you. Leonard, let's talk, what is content creation?
It's anything from the images that you put up, from your social media posts, to how you feel, to what you're doing. Basically, it's anything that really relates to your social media presence. That has a huge spectrum, all the way from what you're doing today, what you're eating right now, all the way up to ideas and inspiration on what you want to move forward with the future, or ideas that you want to put into the world, to products and inventions.
Wow.
So there's a huge spectrum when it comes to content.
I'm still a little confused as a grandma, so we'll still translate further. It's basically what you're creating to put online.
Correct. Like, think about it this way. Each of us, we have a story, and we want to tell our story. Sometimes we want to tell our story very simply, like, oh, I ate a cookie today. That's a story in itself. Maybe a really basic, simple story. And other times we want to get into depth about how we, like, jumped over a rock or climbed a mountain or something like that. All of that, once you put that online, that becomes content.
I see. And what I've heard, and the word on the street, and from my experience, content is king, because there's so much noise online. You've got to have stuff that's worth looking at. Is that correct?
Exactly. There's millions and millions of things going on every single second. People are looking at this. People are looking at that. If you want to stick out in the world of social media, you have to have something that's intriguing enough for people want to read it or to look at it or to watch the video. Now, if you're looking at something and someone says, oh, I saw a dog today, and it just said that, you might not really be too intrigued about what it has to say. But if it said, oh, two puppies ran up to a ice cream truck and was like barking and asking the ice cream man for their favorite treat, then maybe you would be a little bit more intrigued. So it's really in the way on how content is delivered.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we all have stories, and when you put those stories online, it's considered content. And
correct.
We're talking about content creation, and it's basically creating stories online that hopefully have value, hopefully have intrigue, because I can't get the idea out of my mind of two little cute puppies. They're probably Corkies, and they're barking, you know, up on the tire, and they're trying to get an ice cream, but they can't talk, and that's an issue now. That's in my brain. So you've got that visualization. You've created some content.
Exactly, and it's not just the written word. It's also video, and it's also images. There's all these different ways that you can go out there and you can create content. So if you're a filmographer, then you could post a lot of video content up onto your page. Now, if you're an artist, you could put a lot of artwork or design work onto your page. Now, if you're a writer or just a regular person who doesn't know how to do graphic design like me or know how to draw like me, or even know how to record a video, then you can always stick with the written word.
Gotcha. Now, let's talk a little bit about how you learned so much about stories and content creation. And part of my intro, I mentioned that you have over 10 million reads on your content. So, Grandma, that means that not necessarily 10 million people, but a whole bunch of people, aggregately 10 million times, probably a lot more than that now, have read through the content or the stories that you've put online. So maybe just give us a little background on how that happened, because I know it doesn't happen overnight, but you do have a unique story. And for all of you who are listening, you're listening to KUCI, whether it's on the radio at 88.9 FM or online, and this show is called Get Notified. You have Ryan Fullen here as your host. My DJ name, we're still trying to decide, but Leonard, let me see what you think. We got three options: DJ Ryan Fullen, super original, or DJ Ginger MC, or DJ Ginger Cannon. Which one do you like the best?
How about DJ Ginger Rocks?
DJ Ginger Rocks. I might add that to the queue, but I'm not going to totally adopt that and accept it right now. So this show, if you're just joining us, we talk about all things social media, whether you are good at it and you want to get better, whether you hate it, or whether you're just generally confused by it. So we bring on influencers, we talk about topics, and today we're talking about one of the most important things when it comes to social media, and that's your content. Now, so you can show us some Twitter love throughout the day, you can get in touch with me at Ryan Fullen. I'm thinking about maybe changing my name to at Ryan Fullen. It'd be a lot easier. you can find me on Instagram, Ryan.Fullen. Yes, somebody else took the Ryan Fullen on Instagram. You can check out, I do a daily drawing every day, and I love being on those two platforms. Leonard, how can we find you online before you get into your story? Where do we find you?
On Twitter, you can find me at Mr. Leonard Kim. That's R Leonard Kim. And it's also the same on Instagram. On Facebook and Pinterest, it's just Leonard Kim without the Mr. in front.
All right, let's get back into it for those that were with us earlier. Leonard, give us a little backdrop on you and how you became a social media influencer, because that's really what you are. You speak, you tell stories, people listen.
Well, it was pretty interesting how everything fell into play. Just to give you a little background on myself, back in 2005 and 2006, I had a career doing sales. In about 2007, I had that entrepreneur bug hit me, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I should try building a business. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to make millions. Things are going to be amazing.
Like everyone that wants to start a business. I love it.
Exactly. But here's the problem. When I was back in 2007, I was maybe 22 at the time. I had minimal business experience. I had no clue how to operate a budget. I had no clue about the legalities of anything. All I really knew how to do was sell. But you read so many different things that say, in business, all you need to know is how to sell. All you need to know is how to sell. All you need to know is how to sell. And you can make millions of dollars. So I thought that was all I needed. And I went out there, tried working on the business for about a year. And eventually, I piled myself up into about $50,000 of credit card debt. Things got pretty bad. It got to the point where I was like, okay, if I keep continuing on this path, I'm going to end up homeless.
You did what we call going all in. You went all in. You got the credit card debt. You thought this was going to make you millions, and then you get stuck in the run, and then you keep going. I hear you.
And I was doing stupid things like making copies of printed material and color at Kinko's instead of the small little shop. So every single page would cost me about $1 as opposed to 10 cents. I mean, common sense isn't so common when you don't really know what you were doing.
Wait, say that again? If you want a tweetable moment right here, this is it. So for those of you who want to learn how to tweet, you know, live tweeting in events is great. So you could say, per the @ symbol, Mr. Leonard Kim, and then what was it you said? It's
common sense really isn't that common when you don't know what you're doing.
Common sense is not that common when you don't know what you're doing. I love that. See, that's a tweetable moment right there. And just a little grandma timeout. When you're at events or your conferences or even radio shows like this, people will say, hey, tweet us or tweet at us or show us some Twitter love. And that means break out your phone, unless you're driving. For all of you on the 405, this does not apply to you. Do not text and drive. Do not tweet and drive. Do not Facebook and drive. Do not, you should listen to the radio while you drive. 88.9 KUCI. So a tweetable moment. That's a great little nugget of information. So you could tweet that out. You could tag Leonard. You could tag KUCI. By the way, if you're not following KUCI, you need to do that unless you're driving and you have an excuse. It is @KUCIFM, and that is for their Twitter and their Instagram, and you can find them on Facebook as well. So throughout the moments, as Leonard's speaking, I might say, whoa, that's a tweetable moment. Show Leonard some Twitter love. And that's how you do it. Okay, so you were ignorant and you were just, you were living the life of ignorant and bliss until you racked up credit card debt. And what happened next?
Well, one thing I wanted to point out is just how strong Kinko's branding was at that time. Because I could have gone to any mom and pop coffee place and just got those things done for super cheap. But since I was young and naive and Kinko's branding was so strong at the time, now they're called FedEx Express, I automatically thought Kinko's was going to be my savior when it came to printing. So that's just how strong and powerful it is when you really get down and refine your brand message. If you're able to get it down that well, then the type of content you're creating is going to redefine that, or not redefine it, but refine it so more people who are naive and clueless are going to come to you. But back to my story. In about 2008, I decided to switch career trajectories and was like, you know what? This entrepreneurship course, this isn't for me. I've almost lost everything for this, and I'm in tons and tons of debt. So I thought about it for a moment, and I was like, you know, maybe real estate's the big thing. I see a lot of people I know buying Lamborghinis and driving S-Class Benzes. This has got to be the secret formula to making it. So I got involved in the real estate industry. About 3 months in, I came to realize that even though I had about 25 deals signed, ready to go and everything, they needed to be approved by the banks. Ryan, I'm sure you're familiar with what happened in 2008.
Yeah, the walls came crashing down.
The walls did come crashing down. And it was so tough because I just sat there and I was like, oh my God, that 50 grand I just made, I can't grab it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. It's slipping out of my hands.
So you put in all this work, you got all these deals lined up, and the timing was just when the market crashed, and so here you find yourself once again down and out of luck.
Exactly. So I spent 2 to 3 months thinking of creative ways to salvage that money because I wanted that 50 grand. I needed that 50 grand.
Now, real quick, were you on social media at all during this time?
No, I was probably on Facebook. Like with my 500,000 friends or whatever.
But at this point, as you're stumbling through making all these mistakes, you're not on social media, but you're just failing through life, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. And don't take that the wrong way. I say failing through life in the best way possible because we've all been there and done that to some degree.
Yeah, and it wasn't that fun. And then later in that year, you know, I had to give up on that project and move on to something else. So what's the next best thing after real estate? The stock market, right?
Okay.
So I started working at an investment fund, and guess what happens 2 to 3 months in?
The company went out of business.
AIG went down in a fire sale. All our assets just disappeared. The stock for our company goes from like something to like pennies. And next thing you know, the company's filing bankruptcy. I'm like, can I cash this check? They're like, oh, yeah, go try it. So I go to the bank and I try it, but it just keeps bouncing. And for some reason, it just keeps bouncing around and bouncing around and bouncing around some more. I guess that's what happens when a company can't afford to pay you. The checks just bounce around like bunnies.
Bouncing bunny checks. Okay, there you are with your visuals. So now this investment firm has gone down and you're still not on social media. And what happens next?
Well, in 2009, after I was laying in bed crying for about 2 months, wondering what the hell I was going to do with my life, I was like, you know, there's got to be a way out. And one of the people I was working with at the investment fund told me he was starting a company with a few other people in the lead generation industry, and he asked me if I wanted to help out. I told him I didn't really want to do it, but he said he would pay me a salary. And at that time, I really needed the money. So I was like, sure, I'll go make the trip. I'll go do it. So in about 4 or 5 months, we were able to take the company from $0 in revenue to about $50,000 a month.
Wow.
That lasted for about 9 months, maybe.
Uh-oh.
And something around there.
And then what happened?
We spent money in the wrong places, hired too many employees, and ran out of money.
Okay, so you find yourself out of a job once again. And are you still on social media? Is this being shared at all?
At that point, I got on social media, and that's how we were able to go from $0 to $50,000 a month in revenue, because we were using LinkedIn and all these other platforms to just advertise and get our services out there. So we used content in a creative way to tell the story about the business and generate leads and revenue for the company. But that wasn't enough. And times have changed a bit, and social media has gotten a little bit more mature than it was back in 2009.
So where did you start to find some traction online? It sounds like these real and entrepreneurial ventures didn't work out. What happened?
Well, in 2010, I went off and did a few different things on my own and tried a few different odd jobs here and there. Things kind of fell apart. Got even worse. Then I went to go work at another startup. In that startup, that's when I started really utilizing the internet with like cold emails and messaging people and trying to really get into social media, but things weren't clicking at that moment either.
So let's time out for just a second here. There's 8,000 graduate student or 8,000 students that just graduated here at UCI. They all have a nice shiny diploma and they're going out there bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. If you are one of those 8,000 students or you are a student and you're going to get your degree, you need to realize that sometimes life doesn't work the way you want it to. And it's not all rose petals, but if you continue to keep failing through things and failing forward, something good has got to happen, right? I mean, tell us at what point did you get to a breaking point? I mean, you've got listeners that are maybe dealing with certain struggles or they're about to go out there on that journey. What kept you going through all these situations? I mean, other than the fact that, you know, you had to continue to pay bills to keep going on, but what kept you motivated?
Well, here's the thing. Things got worse before they got better.
Mm.
In the tail end of 2010, I couldn't pay my rent anymore. I stopped paying my electricity bill for about 6 months. We shut off my lights, and I was like, you know what? I guess I'm going to have to take showers in the dark. And that's what I did for a while. And one day, the eviction notice came, the final one that says, hey, you got to get out. I had no clue what to do, so I called my mom, and I was like, hey, Mom, guess what? I'm going to go live under a bridge. And she's like, what, really? She panicked. She called my grandma. My grandma let me stay at her place for a while. I spent like about 2 months there just sleeping and playing video games because, I mean, after that much defeat, you got to be depressed, right? There's really nothing that will keep you motivated to get up. And at that time, that's how I felt. After that, I started working at a startup for a while. That's where I was talking about trying out the internet and really seeing if we could get it working. Things weren't really working out too well there. But I had one underlying thought in the back of my head, and that was I can't live with my grandma forever. People are going to look at me as such an embarrassment. So I figured out, what could I do to really go and change my life and get it back on track? So I borrowed a few $100 from my friend, and I moved back to L.A. And after about 2 months, I had to find a job because I was out of money, and I got a regular job at a Fortune 100 company, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to take that career path that everyone talks about.
Right, you maybe had it with the startups at that point, huh?
Yeah, I was like, I'm done with these startups. I'm going to go with a straight path where I work my way up to becoming a director after working with the company for about 25 years, and I'm going to sit there and just collect my six-figure check and just do nothing and laugh all day at the company parties.
laugh all day at the company parties. Okay, and, you know, that's what a lot of people strive for.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted at the time. I wanted that more than anything. So, you know, most college graduates, what do they do? They start at the bottom and they move their way up to the top, right?
Started at the bottom, yes.
So I thought, hey, guess what? I could start at the bottom of this Fortune 100 company and move my way up to the top. Sat there for about 2 years working, outperforming my entire department. If you looked at my statistics compared to the number two person in the department, it was 250% better. That means I did 2.5 times more work than the person next to me.
And did you move up at all?
After 2 years, I had no promotion. I was only interviewed for two other positions at the company, neither of which I was hired for. And at that moment, I came to the realization that I'm 2 years into this venture. If I'm not promoted now and other people who were performing with far less statistics than I was having were able to get promoted, then I'm never going to get promoted, right?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people out there who work at jobs and don't see that mobility, and it's frustrating. It's demoralizing sometimes. It's depressing. You put all this work in. You do the best you can. You outperform. And sometimes larger corporations, either there's no room or there's just no ability to move.
Yeah, it was horrible. I'm like looking at this Fortune 100 company thinking, wow, this is a multi-billion dollar enterprise, and they can't afford to pay me more than $16.24 an hour. And they don't give me raises. They don't pay me more. They don't do anything. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God, can I live this way forever? That dream of becoming a director, that just went out the window. That's never going to happen here.
So
I had to figure out a way out, or else I would be stuck there forever. And I started utilizing what we're talking about on the show today, something called social media.
Now, what year was this?
This is 2013.
Okay, so just a couple years ago. And when you mm-hmm. say you started to use social media, you'd mentioned before that you did it for your business and whatnot, but I'm assuming this was for you or your person, or did you start another startup or what?
This was for me. Like before, when I used social media, I tried to use it for the business. And I came to the realization after all these companies went bankrupt that no matter how much effort I put into these other projects, that once the project failed, and I'm sure you're aware, 9 out of 10, 95% of businesses fail within the first 5 years.
Yeah, if not more. I mean, it's crazy statistics, but yes, the majority of startups do fail.
Nowadays, it's probably even more than that. So that means I have a 95% chance of having all that work I did end up not being something that I could add to my resume, right?
Yeah, so you've got failure, after company that goes down, after the market crashes, and then you join another company, and they spend money in the wrong place, and then you go move in with your grandma, and you're taking cold showers, and then you get another job in LA, and then it's 2 years until you even see any type of, well, no, you see no promotion, and then you start to turn to this medium to what? To share this story. Is that correct?
Well, back in 2011, right around the time when I started the job, I tried taking a stab at social media, and I tried writing about 3 posts online, but I think about 3 people read it.
Did you just say you tried to write 3 posts?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, let's do a GTO real quick. Posts. Posts are content that you put up, whether it's a blog or it could be a post on a Facebook or something. And if you're just joining us, you are listening to Get Notified with DJ Ryan Folan. That's me. You can show me and the love to the Twitter world. Also making sure to give some nice mention to Mr. Leonard, our guest here, who's at Mr. Leonard Kim. as well as KUCI. That's at KUCI FM. So if you are just joining us, we're hearing an interesting story of basically struggle, strife, depression, crying, things just not going right. And Leonard now finds himself 2 years into a job. He's demotivated because he's not getting promoted. And he tempered with social media 3 posts and about 3 people read it. Then what is happening? What are you thinking right now?
Well, back in 2011, after I wrote those 3 posts, I kind of gave up on that project because it wasn't going anywhere and no one was reading it.
That kind of makes sense. Were you writing about anything in particular, or?
I think I was just writing about how angry I was at the last startup that failed and how I had to move back to LA.
Okay, so
$50 and was in a pretty bad place.
Okay, so you know, getting your emotions out and basically ranting online to the world, and 3 people listened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty exciting, right?
Sort of, but not really. Not to laugh at you, but, you know, not super exciting. I am going to admit, I was not one of the 3 people that read it, and probably none of our listeners here today. So, did you start?
More likely not.
So, what happened? Like, what got you back on the content creation train? You just decided to start again?
Well, I mean, back in 2011, I also went through a lot of failures, one after another, after another, after another. So I was kind of at that point where I didn't want to try anything, and I wasn't really motivated to just go out there and try and work on something. But after sitting at a job for 2 years and having a stable paycheck, it was stable. It paid the bills. I wasn't able to really go out there and do anything I wanted to do. I wanted to grab a beer after work, but I couldn't afford it. I wanted to drive to work, but I had to take the bus instead. Like, all these little inconveniences, they started to pile up, and I realized that I kind of wanted a little bit more. Not a lot more. I mean, maybe a car just to go back and forth to work. Not something fancy, just something to get me back and forth. And, like, I realized that if I made $30,000 a year for the rest of my life, I'd probably be unhappy, miserable, and I probably wouldn't be a good candidate for marriage or anything like that, let alone the date. So when 2013 came around and I started to write content again and start sharing my story, I had a different perspective in mind. I had 2 years to refresh, a lot of time to want more and not be happy with my circumstances. And since I was in an entry-level position, I had a lot of free time too. Now, when I wrote my first post, it wasn't about my failures or anything like that. It was about some of the philosophies I picked up over the years. Coincidentally, because of the social media platform I chose to post that piece of content on, it had 102 views, which is
99 more than the first batch.
Exactly. And that in itself was pretty inspiring. See that one single piece of content go out there to 99 more people than 3 pieces of content went out to before. And I realized that content is just one part of the equation. There's the type of content that you're creating, but then there's also the networks out there that are out there to read it. Like me, when I started out my blog, it wasn't on social media. It was just on a WordPress site, and the only one who knew about it was me. So since I didn't really have any social media behind that, that's why only 3 people were able to see the post. So I took that content that I started writing in 2013, and I posted it in more of a social media outlet with a pre-existing audience that's geared towards writing. So, like, think about it like this. There's, like, certain pockets in the world where there's this type of person, that type of person, that type of person, and that type of person. Like, people who like sports would probably hang out at a sports bar.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
On the internet, there's the same types of cliques that are all set up. Like, certain people who have certain interests hang out in this group, and this group, and this group, and this group, and this group. What I had to do is I had to go out there and discover the group that wanted to, that liked to like write and read. And I posted my content into that type of group. They encouraged me to continue writing. So I created more and more content. And I started sharing it, not just on that platform, but onto like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and all these other places too. And within 6 months of doing that, since I had the initial motivation from those 102 views, and since I saw that working and I saw my life in a certain way and I didn't want it to continue to be that way, I just turned out more and more content. And within, from May 2013 to about December 2013, I had 2 million views on my content, and I went from 3 people following my posts to about 3,400.
Okay, so you jumped to over 3,000 within 6 months.
Correct.
Okay, and this is, for all of you who are listening, we're listening to Leonard Kim, at Mr. Leonard Kim, and he's got an interesting story because as of today, 2016, he is definitely an influencer. He has over 10 million views on his content. That's a lot. He's got, how many social media followers do you have right now?
Collected, probably about like 250,000.
So 250,000 people are following what Leonard's doing, and he had a very rough past with just failure after failure, working for himself, working for startups, working for Fortune 100 companies, found himself in a job that he was miserable at, did 3 posts that got 3 reads, and then found, it sounds like, a niche where you were writing to a specific people that were wanting to listen to what you're writing, and you jumped to 3,000 in the first 6 months. Tell us what happened from that point. Did it just skyrocket, or did it organically grow from there?
In the next 6 months, by May 2014, I had about 10,000 followers and about 5 million reads on my content.
Wow.
And then 6 more months, December 2014, I had 10 million reads and about 20,000 followers.
Okay, so for those of you listening, wherever you are in life, I'm not saying that social media will solve your problems, but there is an opportunity to find people who want to listen to what you have to say. And there's so, I mean, there's like 3.8 million people just in Los Angeles alone. If you can find your voice and you are motivated to create content, there are people in little clicks online that might just eat up that content. Now, Leonard, why is it important to have 10 million views? I mean, what has it done for you in your life? Because we see all the time people that have tons of followers, and it's kind of challenging now because you can actually buy follows, you can buy, you know, I mean, you have robots and stuff that make things seem fake. But what is the value of having followers, people that want your content? What kind of opportunities has social media created for you?
When you look at them as a collective number, it really means nothing. It's when you look at each person as an individual.
Okay, explain a little more.
So, like, let's just say, Ryan, have you ever read an amazing piece of content before?
I have, yeah. I mean, I search and find things that are interesting to me. I'm a total communication geek, so when it comes to things that have to do with communication, I just read a Forbes article the other day about public speaking being a number one fear, and this guy was talking about different hacks to get around it, and I just get sucked into that kind of stuff.
Who's that guy who wrote that book, I Met You at His House?
Keith Ferrazzi.
When you read his book, you realized that it was pretty powerful to you, right?
Yeah, and that's Keith Ferrazzi. If anybody has not read Never Eat Alone, it is an amazing book based on sort of networking concepts that are really rooted in paying it forward. And that's where I originally had met Leonard, at a networking party at Keith Ferrazzi's house. And Leonard was the only other gentleman there with a bow tie. We were both rocking a bow tie. Leonard, you had a velvet bow tie?
It was red velvet, just like my favorite cupcake.
And I had a knitted bow tie from the Chesame Chicks, and it was a bow tie that was actually knitted. So we both kind of were odd characters, and we ended up connecting and really finding that we could help each other out with what we're looking for. But yeah, I mean, Keith Ferrazzi's book, like a bunch of other awesome content out there, it can be riveting. You get excited, and it actually changes the way that I think about things, and it changes the way that I approach things, and opens up opportunities that weren't there before.
So by reading his book, you were able to make progress in your own life, right?
Yeah, I still use some of the principles. One of the things that he suggests is that when you meet somebody, you literally ask what they need help with. And it's such a simple concept, and it's so cool. That's a something I carry with me all the time. And it's said a few different ways. Brian McMahon is a big pay it forward guy too. But just having that being reinforced, some of the actual tips and tools. Like I said, I'm a communication geek, but literally whenever I'm driving and I'm not listening to KUCI FM, I am listening to audiobooks, and I just love hearing other people share information that that they find out.
So kind of like in this situation here, you want to know how those 10 million reads translate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the exact same thing as a book like what Keith Ferrazzi has, because an article is maybe 500 words up to maybe 2,000-3,000 words, and a book's 40,000 words long. But you kind of get the idea of why it's beneficial for people to read the content. People are able to get life tips that they're able to implement into their own life. Other people reached out to me who were super successful entrepreneurs who were running 7, 8, 9-figure-a-year companies. And they were like, you know what, Leonard? I went through that exact same thing, but you're so brave for sharing that. I would never be able to share a story like that. So it helped me connect and build a network with all these people who were super successful. Like, I used to know no one. I mean, I was basically almost homeless. Like, what kind of network could I possibly have?
Right.
Time progressed. By writing out my story and the content that I chose to write online, I was able to connect with high-level attorneys, business people, professors, deans, teachers.
So your story was really a story of failure and success through sharing that failure, right?
Basically.
So for those of you who are out there, again, if you're just graduating college, if you're just a new freshman, hashtag UCI yes, this is an interesting concept. Social media can be a tool to gain an audience, grow influence, grow your network, share your ideas. And so, Leonard, I'd love to sort of transition this talk into how we can teach people to be content creators, to write successfully, to use images successfully, to maybe use video successfully. If you're okay with it, we would love to pick your brain for some real tangible things on how myself or an anteater here at school, or even a teacher or a faculty member or staff member, there's got to be people out there that are sitting at a desk frustrated, and they want to have a voice, or they want to be heard, or they want to grow their network. And so let's spend some time right now, step by step, Leonard, how do we create content? How do we become a content creator? Like, what is the first step that we need to do?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you have to really define what social media is. I like to look at social media with a capital S on the social part of everything. The reason it's called social media is because it's for you to get out there and be social and start connecting with other people. So that's the first thing that you need to realize.
So real quick, so first step is just mentally think that if you're going to get involved in social media creating content, it's a two-way street. It's not just a one-way, but you're actually going to have to put yourself out there. So the first step is really getting mentally prepared to sort of put yourself out there. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, so mentally I'm sitting there. Maybe I did 3 posts 3 years ago and I got 3 views. I listened to Leonard and I listened to Get Notified, and now I'm like, all right, I'm ready to take a chance. Mentally I'm prepared. What do I do next?
Now, it doesn't matter what type of content you're creating, whether it's video, audio, text, or image. What matters is you have to go out there and find like-minded communities that have similar interests as you.
Now, can this work for a business as well? If a business wants to be a content creator and gain influence, or a program at UCI, or the Study Abroad Center, or the Blackstone Launchpad, as a unit, can they make a decision to get out there, get social, and start creating content? Is it the same concept for a person as a business, as a program on campus?
Of course. It's the same, but there's a few limitations when you're a corporation as opposed to a person.
Okay, so let's stick with talking about a person. And for all of you programs out there at UCI, under the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning umbrella, this is also speaking to you. getting ready to get out there and be social, getting the right mindset, finding that niche audience, the student group or the students that you want to get in front of. All right, so we're there. We know the niche. What next?
Like, one of the key problems when you're looking at it from the business standpoint is, like, let's say you're in the office of the vice provost and you want people to follow you on social media.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. You actually run social media for USC Keck Medical Center. Is that correct?
I do.
So this is a great tie-in, because even though we don't like you, USC, well, it's just...
You don't like that?
No, it's not that we don't like you. It's that Peter the Anteater on any given day would just annihilate. Is it Tommy the Trojan or Terrence the Trojan? I don't know what your guys' mascot's name is. I mean, our mascot has a name. Are you guys just a general Trojan? I'm not sure.
His name's Tommy.
Is it Tommy? All right, so Peter would whoop up on Tommy any day of the week, and I think that if we had a football team, we would win. I'm pretty sure that we beat them in any other sport that we compete in. Whether we compete with them or not is besides the story. But all friendly rivalries aside, let's go back to our steps, Leonard. We have step one, mentally prepare for getting online and getting social. Step two, find that niche audience. What's step three?
Step three is to go out there and practice creating content and just putting it out there and asking for feedback on it.
Okay, so that sounds easier than it maybe is. Just go out there.
Yeah. It sounds very easy, but in actuality, it's pretty difficult.
So how do we work through those steps? Do we just write a blog? Do we post something on our Facebook? I mean, what are some basic steps that maybe that you took that other people can repeat if they want to duplicate your success?
Well, one thing I did before I started writing through the collective years of my whole experience is right now I'm about 31 years old. So in 2013, that was about 3 years ago, I was about 28 years old.
You're good at math.
I've been studying pretty hard. So over the course of those 28 years, I've read a lot of books. I mean, they were mandated by school. I did not read that many books after school. I've read a lot of articles. I've basically had a lot of time in front of content where I was able to really dissect and piece together how content was created. One of the key things I did is before I even started writing, I wanted to figure out how to become a good writer. So I used to read a lot of content that teaches you how to become a good writer. I mean, you don't have to be a good writer and go out there and try it beforehand. Like, I never was confident in my writing. Even 2 years into my writing, I wasn't that confident about it. I don't even think I'm that great of a writer today. But I wanted to go out there and make myself better than what I thought I was in school, because I was a C student in English, which means I'm probably not the best out there. What I wanted to do is I wanted to write and copy other people's content word for word so I could get inside other people's heads and figure out how they wrote.
So you actually took content of writers that you enjoyed reading and just copied them word for word as a strategy to learn how to become a better writer?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And somehow, when you're copying the writing, like, let's say I was copying a book word for word, and then someone used a word like therefore in there. Like, subconsciously, your mind figures out that if you're going to type something like this for your own story, you should probably put a therefore there, too. It's like the weirdest thing.
Now, you're not copying and publishing this. This is just strictly a training exercise to become a better writer.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of you out there just joining us, you're listening to Get Notified with DJ Ryan Foland, and we've got Mr. Leonard Kim here as our guest. We were just talking about how Peter the Anteater is way cooler than Tommy the Trojan. But aside from that, we're talking about how to create content, and Leonard's saying if you don't feel confident as a writer, then find articles or find books that you enjoy reading and actually transcribe them, and it's going to help your brain get into this writing mode.
And the best thing to do is to pick maybe like 3 to 5 to 10 different authors and write all their different posts out, because then your brain adapts to why this writer wrote this way, why this writer wrote this way, why this writer wrote this way. And after a while, you'll figure out your own style. You may be borrowing someone else's style for a while, but as time progresses, your own will emerge.
All right, so you're mentally prepared. You know your niche. You now take steps to become comfortable in writing. Then what? You just write, and then all of a sudden people start to follow you and start to read your content?
I'd say start with a small story. I mean, you shouldn't go all out and talk about your worst moment on your first post. I didn't do that until about like post 20 to 30.
So warm up to the major failures if you're going to be sharing your stories.
Yeah, I mean, share like maybe some event that happened in your life. The great thing about people is no one out there has a boring story. I mean, sure, maybe your life is very boring today because all you did was microwave up a pizza and eat it, and now you're sitting around at your desk going, wait, it's the morning time, so you're on your drive to work going, oh, it's just another day at work. But here's the thing. You've had moments in your life that were great. You have to have.
Yeah, everybody does. And yes, there's some sort of mundane nature to, you know, certain days, but you're saying we all have stories that are exciting to hear. And I believe stories are one of the most amazing and important things out there, besides love, of course. And through stories, from a speaking perspective, you can be a great speaker by just telling stories strung together to get a point across. And you're saying you can share those stories in a written word online to help people want to listen to your stories.
Well, first, when you're breaking your way into the community, I mean, you want to just tell like little snippets and ask for feedback and get help and advice and start collaborating with others. Like maybe you could write a story about the first day you got your first dog or when you met your first girlfriend. Maybe not that, because that could be a sad story, but maybe some other happy moment and just get feedback on that. And you'll start to be able to collaborate with others who help you write more, better, or more clear. Then you can talk about the things that you really want to talk about. Or maybe talk more about your life story or talk about what you're an expert at. But, I mean, you have to start somewhere and you have to get feedback initially. And the feedback, like, when I first started writing, people were giving me feedback. And a lot of those people who gave me feedback in the beginning are still my friends today.
Right. So the point here is after you have taken steps to become a better writer, you literally need to just get something out there, because if you don't start, you can't get feedback and you won't know how to adjust accordingly.
Correct.
Okay, so you're over the fear, you know your niche, you're comfortable writing, you actually get things out there and write, and you know, you talk about this being social, so what do you do from an interaction standpoint? I mean, are you commenting and liking and engaging with these people that are following you?
I mean, it's all a two-way conversation. You don't write content just to put it up and have it go out there so people can read it and be like, oh, wow, this is great. Or, oh, wow, that's a cute story. I mean, sure, some people are going to feel that way, and they're going to have those takeaways, and you may never hear from them again. What you really want to use social for is those people who go, wow, that's a great story, and they write a comment on it, and they're like, oh, let me tell you about this time something similar happened in my life, and they send that to you in a private message. Or they're like, oh, I struggle with something similar. How do you overcome it? These are the people you want to connect with and talk to and engage with, because these personal connections, that's what social media is all about.
Now, let's talk about the platforms in which you would write, because somebody can get lost in the weeds if they're not comfortable from a technology standpoint. You've had a lot of success on Quora. Is that a good place to start?
It is a good place to start, but before I get into that, like when you're building these connections and you're talking with these people become your advocates and they start promoting your message out there. And now you have someone who's basically on your team. You're not out alone anymore. You have other people who you're working with. So it's not just Ryan Follin sitting in his own room writing content by himself. It's Ryan Follin online with a few internet buddies who are all working together for the same common goals. Yes, for me, for my start, I did start out on Quora.
Now, what is Quora? GTO, Grandma Timeout. What is Quora?
Okay, as simple as possible, it's a question and answer site. Like, Ryan, can you name one random question?
Sure. What is the best software to use when editing podcasts?
So you would pose a question like, what's the best software to use when editing podcasts? People who have experience doing podcasts would answer that question with as in-depth detail information to help you make an informative decision on what type of podcast software to purchase. Now, do you have a more general life advice question you want to ask, Ryan?
Let's see. What is the best type of company to start if I want to start my own business?
Okay, so you want to start your own business. Now, you have all these different people providing feedback. And guess what? Your feedback is as unique as anyone else's. And you have your own personal experience. You have your own personal story. You could go out there and you could create your answer based off your personal experiences and what happened in your life. Because like my answer and Ryan's answer to that question might be two completely different things, right?
Yeah, everybody's got a different answer. So it sounds like it's a question and answer site where someone will pose a question and then you have the ability to answer. And what it sounds like, I've played around with it a little bit, and what is nice is that you don't have to figure out what you're going to write about. You literally can take a question that somebody else has asked, and maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people have answered that question, but you get a chance to chirp in and answer as well, and it gives you an excuse of what to actually write.
One of the biggest problems I've had when I first started that blog and I only had about 3 followers was I had absolutely no idea what to write about. Like, I can't think and sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to write about X, Y, and Z. So why I use Quora, aside from the fact that I had a pre-existing audience of people who like to read and write, was because since those questions did exist on the site, it gave me something to write about.
And that's important when you're starting off, if you don't know what to write about.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's recap. For those, we're almost out of time here. Now, Leonard went from zero to hero in a relatively short amount of time, from failing over and over, from market crashes to companies that went down, and literally found sort of his low point. Got back on his feet, got to Los Angeles, worked at a job that he found himself in for 2 years with no promotions, and started to share how he was feeling and sharing his failures online. There's people that resonated with that message. In 6 months, he got traction. In another 6 months, he got traction, and he ended up with over 10 million people viewing his sites, close to 250,000 people that are following him on social media that he's built relationships with. And he's been sharing with us some of the beginning steps of starting on your own path to your influence on your own social media. Step number one, realize that social media is social and it's a two-way street. You're going to have to interact with people. You're going to have to know that you're going to put yourself out there and engage in conversations. Step number two is finding that niche, finding people. Remember, you don't want to just tell your story to everyone. You want to tell your story to people who want to read your story. Then step three, you got to learn how to write. If you're not comfortable writing, an interesting suggestion is to find people that you like, how they write, and then copy them word for word to get your style down. And then we talked here at the end about utilizing your stories, whether they're mundane things, whether they're things that you feel are exciting, but just getting something out there in the world to get some feedback on. And as a backup or as a parallel, you have lots of platforms online, but one in particular you might want to look at starting is Quora, Quora.com. And I was reading somewhere that they just broke into the top 100 most viewed sites. It's a question and answer based platform to where people ask questions, you can ask a question, and lots of people answer them, and it gives you a chance to create content without having to come up with what you're going to write about. And Leonard shared with us how having these followers and these people reading his content not only has given him a chance to share, but has given him a chance to be seen as an influencer, be contacted by influential people, people who are inspired by him, people who want to do business with him. Literally, it has opened up the gates from, you know, flashback 5 years ago, he's taking cold showers. That's because he couldn't pay his electricity bill. So it is sort of this rags to riches internet story, and we hear it all the time. but it's really fun to hear it from somebody in their own story. And Leonard, you know, I've enjoyed getting to know you here over probably the past year, if not a little bit more now, and very much respect for your content. I think that if people are interested, they should check you out. You're very active on Twitter. I like to see what you tweet out, and you've got some great articles on all these major publications. So any kind of closing comments of maybe motivation or last words of advice for students, faculty, staff, and just don't tell them that they should go to USC. That's the only requirement here.
Why? Because we're the most expensive school?
Well, yes. Yes, you are the most expensive school. So UCI, be proud, be strong, zot, zot, zot. Do not fear Tommy the Trojan, because we have Peter. Peter the Anteater. He is super strong. And it was National Mascot Day recently. And so I made sure to give him some love online. Thank you, Peter. But back to you, Leonard. What are some closing comments, some things to leave with? I mean, this was kind of a fun change of pace for our show. We really took our time and learned a lot about you and got some really cool tips on, you know, what we can do to try to start to gain an influence online if that's something that you're interested in.
Well, one thing for the closing thought to wrap everything up, the best thing that comes to mind is success doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take a lot of hard work and effort. It wasn't until about a year in when I started to get paid for my work, but now I get offers that are completely ridiculous being sent to me all the time. I was invited to speak in Portugal, Singapore, all across the world. I've been featured in all these leading media publications from Inc. to Forbes, Fortune, and so forth. But none of this would have happened if I didn't have that courage to take that first step and go out there and write that first piece of content. I was shaking. I was scared of what people might think about me or my content. And I was scared of all the different opinions that might come from me just going out there and putting my content out there. So for closing thoughts, I sat there for about 10, 15, 20 minutes thinking, should I really click that publish button and let this be known to the whole world on what I have in my head? I'd say overcome that fear. And if you have that fear, that means you're onto something good, and that means you have content that is worth sharing that people are going to want to read and get to know you moreover. Because it's personal, it has a lot of personality and a lot of emotion in it, and just go out there and publish it. Let the whole world see it so they could start connecting with you.
I love it. Do you hear that, fellow anteaters, fellow Orange Countyans, fellow world individuals? If you are nervous about hitting the click, the send button, the publish button, that means you're on to something. That means what you have to share with the world is real and it means something. So today we learned that social media can be a tool to share your story. On the flip side, you may be following other people's stories. If you want to grow your influence, if you want to grow your network, there's only one way to do it, and that's to start sharing your story. Don't be afraid to be social. Find your niche audience. Learn how to write and practice and get good at it. Get something out there and start on existing platforms. And no matter what, fight through that fear and share your story. Well, Leonard, if we want to find you online, what is your website? And give us your social one more time.
My website is leonardkim.com. That's LEONARDKIM.com. My social media on Facebook and Pinterest is at /LeonardKim. And on Instagram and Twitter, it's Mr. Leonard Kim, MR Leonard Kim.
Wow, and you can find me at Ryan Folland on Twitter or at Ryan.Folland on Instagram. Don't forget to give some Twitter love to the good old station here, KUCI. That's at KUCI-FM. Check out the social media channels of all of the awesome departments at UCI. You have just been with us through another awesome, insightful, and motivational time here with Get Notified. Leonard has been notifying the world of his failures in a way that has made him find success, and you can do the same. I believe in you. We are going to end the show here with a little bit of pump-up music to get you rocking and rolling.